Jesus would be born in some 600 years in advance to his coming. The prophecies had accumulated over that time period. And for Jesus to come exactly like they had foretold was a son born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law so that we might receive the adoption as sons. And we're going to be talking these next several weeks about this extraordinary event that occurred for us as we celebrate this Christmas season. We're going to start off by looking at the day in the life of Mary. You can imagine it starting off like any other day of her life. It hadn't been a long life. We're told that she's probably between 14 and 16 years of age. That would have been at the time she would have been past her bat mitzvah for the girls. She had entered into adulthood. And at that time, then she would be being prepared for marriage. She was betrothed. We know that already. And the betrothal was towards its end. They were ready to come together as a couple. So she's probably 14 or 16 years old, like any other day of any other 14 or 16-year-old girl of her time. But this day would change not only her life, but it would really change all of our lives and what occurred on that day. I'd like to reread the story for you. It's found in the book of Luke. In the first chapter of the book of Luke, if you need a Bible, there's some in the seats in front of you. It's the third of the Gospels, the Gospel of Matthew, or the Gospel according to Mark, and this is the Gospel according to Luke. Starting with the 26th verse, I'd like to retell the story as Luke records it. He starts off in the 26th verse by saying, in the sixth month. That requires us to go back earlier in the chapter where we learned that a lady named Elizabeth, who was in old age, was still without a child. And God had visited the couple, Elizabeth and her husband, and let them know that they were going to have a child in her old age, beyond the age where it would have been expected. It would be a miraculous birth that would be coming from Elizabeth. Elizabeth is Mary's cousin. And it was in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy that the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth. Nazareth is no extraordinary city. It won't be but 30 years from now when another man hears that someone has come from Nazareth and he says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? That was one of Jesus' disciples commenting on this little obscure village. It's still somewhat of an obscure village. To this day, it's a Palestinian village. It's in the Palestinian territory, made up of mostly Palestinians, but many Jews and Palestinians who live side by side. It's on the side of a hill. It's a commerce area, tradesmen. It's nothing spectacular there. There's a beautiful church that's been built over the top of what they believe to be Mary and Joseph's home. You have to go down several layers in human history and literally layers of the streets, and you're finally down to some of those bedrock villages that were built in the time of Jesus, and there's a church on top of that. But for the most part, in that day and even to this day, being from Nazareth was no big deal. He came to this girl in verse 27 who is a virgin, betrothed to a man whose name is Joseph. We learn a little bit about Joseph in the book of Matthew's account. We find out that Joseph is a good man. He's an honorable man. He's a man who has a great sense of ethic in his life. He's also a calm man when it comes to making decisions, for he's going to learn something that may have sent most men off and really made them go a little sideways. It was good that when Joseph hears these words, he's a man of great consideration and thought. He's not one to jump to quick decisions and become one who burned. I could just see Joseph burning a whole lot of bridges in that relationship before God could finally convince him that the child that his betrothed is carrying is of God. She's engaged to a really good man. He's of the house of David. They both are of the house of David. Mary is related to King David through Nathan, one of Bathsheba's sons. Joseph is related to David through Solomon, another one of Bathsheba's sons. So David having Bathsheba as his wife, their second son is Solomon. That's who Joseph can trace his lineage back to, that son. Mary can trace her lineage back to Nathan, which is another son of Bathsheba. This virgin's name was Mary, Miriam. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." O favored one, that word favor is going to show up twice in our text. It's from where we get our word grace. But it's used in a different word than to extend grace. It's used to extend somebody who's been honored or who has been shown favor. And so the angel, on two occasions, tells her that she's an honored woman, which I think would have perplexed her at 14 years of age, someone who is very poor, from a very poor background. Her lineage back to King David is of no value to her after 600-700 years of time. Like anyone else probably in her area of Nazareth, she would have been eking out a subsistence living. We're not told of anything about her parents. The only woman that she seems to have in her life is Elizabeth. There doesn't seem to be a mother figure in her life. And for all the circumstances of her life to then be told that she's favored, she may go, "Who are you talking about? You know, me?" She was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern of what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor." There's our word again. You found honor. There's something about her life, and we really aren't told a lot, but we're going to try to at least see a couple of things about her life that she would have been in a place where she would have found favor with God. Could the same be said of you? "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end." Any one of those lines would have raised an unknown number of questions in anyone's mind. A son, what are you talking about? I'm not even married yet. A child, and name him Jesus. He's gonna take over a throne. His throne is gonna be forever. Can you imagine the questions, the thoughts, the resistance that any one of us would begin to put up being told what's gonna happen to us? That really is way out of our realm of control. And in our ability to have any say too much in that. But notice Mary's response. She has just but one question. Not, "What do you mean a king? Is he going to be a king? When is he going to set up his kingdom? You know, if he's a king, does that make me a queen? And if his kingdom has no end, does that mean he's never going to..." I mean, could you imagine all the questions? But she only has one. And her question is really simple. And it has to do with the fact that in her sphere of understanding and knowledge, there's only one way to have a baby, and that has not happened. So how can this possibly be? That's her only question. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and is in the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went in haste into the hill country, to the town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah, and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came into my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. No ordinary day in the life of Mary. Yeah, we could all quickly agree with that. I mean, she probably woke up like any other day, got her day started like any other day, picked out her one outfit, which was probably what she had. She might have had two, you know, that would have been extraordinary to have a huge plethora of things to choose. It was just an ordinary day, got herself going like any other day. But not this day. What we would see in this day is that this poor, because we understand that there were the haves and the have-nots at that time. And the haves were very, very small in number. People in that day, as in most in third world countries, were very poor. We know that the offering that they give a few days after Jesus' birth indicated that they were a very poor couple. She's very poor. She's very young. She's from Nazareth, which is no place. And she has an ancient ancestry that up to this point has done really has been of no value to her whatsoever on a day-to-day kind of basis. But that is all going to change. Because Mary's description was by the angel Gabriel had nothing to do with her age. Your relationship with God has nothing to do with your age. It has nothing to do with your situation. It has nothing to do with your circumstances. It has nothing to do with your background. She is favored by God. She's 14, poor, from nowhere, and life circumstances are probably nothing like she would hope they would be. But she has found favor with God, and that's not related to any of the things that we normally associate with being in favor. When we're in favor, we can check the marks of what it would look like to be in favor of God, and Mary would not check any of the marks. But she was favored by God. And so Gabriel announces these incredible words that I'm sure, and even after Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, Luke tells us she's pondering these things. She can't quite grasp these things. They even, years later, they lose him in the temple, and they go find him in the temple, and they're like, why are you not staying with us? We left you behind after our trip to Jerusalem. And he's like, man, don't you know I've got to be about my Father's work? And I think that's still stumping her even years into Jesus' life. Because, I mean, can you imagine being 14 and told not only are you going to have a son that you're going to call Jesus, but he's going to be great, which is an announcement about his character and how people perceive him. But he's going to be called the Son of the Most High. And at this point, you're going, what? How is this? What are you talking about? He will be given the throne of David. And not only will he be given the throne, but it will be an everlasting kingdom. And that's what Gabriel then delivers to this young girl. And I'm sure she's becoming maybe overwhelmed by this, but you don't sense that at all in her comment back to him. Her only comment is, I just have one question. How can this be? I'm a virgin. I've not known a man. Well, what we find is that I think, in other words, Gabriel is like, you wouldn't understand if I told you. The Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you. Somehow, the God who could speak the world into existence, who could make a barren woman conceive, who can raise the dead. This is the God who is going to involve himself in your life into some miraculous way in which you will conceive and have a son apart from a relationship with a man. Because you must remember, Mary, nothing will be impossible with God. And if you need some evidence of that, go see your cousin Elizabeth. The one who was called barren is now in her sixth month. Again, because nothing is impossible with God. We have questions all the time, and some of them are very legitimate. Sometimes we have questions, and I could see questions from Mary being the kind of questions that would have been posed in such a way to get out of this. To somehow say, you got like Moses. Remember the questions Moses threw out there? You just got the wrong guy, was Moses' basic comment back to the Lord. But Mary has a legitimate question. And the legitimate answer nothing will be impossible with God. If we could keep that in our minds, ordinary days have the opportunity to become extraordinary. You see, the reason for that is because exceptional days, extraordinary days, are not days that display our greatness. They are days that display His. And God's greatness can be displayed in your life anywhere you go, at any time in your life, and in any circumstance. God's greatness can be displayed in your life with your spouse on a day-to-day basis. Every day with your spouse could be exceptional because God could display His greatness through you into the life of your loved one. God's grace could be expressed to you in the life of your children. Every day could be an exceptional day with your kids because you can express the greatness of God into their life. And what is an ordinary day becomes extraordinary because God becomes involved in that relationship. You go to your place of work, and maybe you like it or maybe you don't like it, but God can use your place of work as an exceptional day because God's greatness can be on display through your life, even in the midst of difficult working kinds of environments, because I believe all work is sacred. God gives us an opportunity to work, and He tells us as believers in Christ that when we go to work, we go to work as if we are working and to please our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And so even our work has the opportunity for me to express what God is doing in and through my life. And that is why every day can be exceptional. Mary's response in Luke 1:38, I think, gives us our greatest clue as to this girl's character. How we have very little to go on and why she is favored by God. If we were to just look at the external evidence, we may not go, this girl is favored by God. But I think this verse gives us something at the very core of her nature, and it tells us a lot about her. And this is what she says: "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." I think what, in other words, what Mary is saying is, I belong to the Lord. I'm a servant of the Lord. I belong to Him. So I want what He wants in my life, and that is more important than what I want. Mary at 14 probably had all kinds of dreams, all kinds of thoughts. You know, she's going to marry Joseph. They're going to get a little business going. She can do the books. He can build the cabinets. You know, whatever it's going to look like. They'll have a kid or two. They'll go to Jerusalem for the Passover. She's probably got this little idea in her mind. What 14-year-old girl doesn't begin to formulate? What man at certain age in his life doesn't begin to formulate the patterns and the processes of one's life? We begin to have these ideas. And I think there's an amazing comment by a very young lady that says, I belong to the Lord, and so I want what He wants in my life more than what I want in my life. And I think this is really at the core of who Mary was. And with that kind of attitude on any of our parts, let alone Mary, God could say, you are favored, you are honored, you are responding to me. I mean, because think about it. What we're really believing is that somehow our plans are better than His for our lives. Our ways are better than His ways for our lives. Our imagination is better than what we're imagining. What we're hoping is better than what He's hoping and planning for our life. I belong to the Lord, so I want what He wants more than what I want. The reason she could do this so easily, I think, in this moment is because this was something that was a pattern of her life. And the question is, do we trust and obey God every day? Because we understand that that's what pleases Him. And not only does it please Him, but He takes notice of this. You are favored. God has noticed what is going on in your heart. For those who believe God and are desiring His word, His plan to be lived out in their lives. No day is an ordinary day. Every day, as I mentioned, can be acceptable. So as we kind of wrap up this morning, what I want you to think about in your own heart and life is, what is impossible in your life today? What relationship just seems impossible that would ever be in any way mended? What circumstance seems to be so impossible that it's beyond all thought of ever being resolved? You have impossible in your life? I think the only way we come to the opportunity to enjoy the reality that with God there is nothing that is impossible is to say, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. I belong to you, and I want what you want. Whatever you want in that relationship, that's what I want, and I will work towards that with you. Whatever you want in this job that I'm working on, that's what I want, and I will work with you in that direction. What do you want in this relationship with these children, in this circumstance, whatever it might be? What is impossible in your life today? Could you honestly say to the Lord, Lord, I belong to you, and I want what you want more than what I want? I think that's when days can become exceptional. Let's pray. Before we close this morning, and I'm not asking you to do something if you don't want to do, but if the Lord has laid it on your heart, just while you're praying, say, Lord, I belong to you, and I want what you want more than what I want. What would your days look like if you began each one that way? Lord, we belong to you. We know that what we enjoy is because of you, not because of our circumstances, not because of our merit. Lord, we are yours because you love us and you have sent your Son to redeem those that were born under the law and to set us free to be your children. Lord, since we belong to you, since you know all things, since you're in control of all things, since there is nothing that is too great for you, and yet there is no difficulty that is too small for your notice, Lord, we say that we want what you want more than what we want. And in doing so, Lord, then we look for you to use our lives to bring glory and to bring praise to you. And that each day of our lives becomes an exceptional day because you are at work in our hearts and in our lives, accomplishing your plans and your purposes. Thank you so much for this story of Mary, for this brave young girl who rose to the occasion, not because at one moment of one day she had some faith experience, but Lord, she was a young lady who honored you each and every day of her life. So that when this moment arose, she was ready to say, I am your servant, and may it be unto me as you've spoken. Lord, may that be the desires of our hearts as well as we leave this morning. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you stand with me and let's sing, Give Me Jesus.